Hey guys, I'm John, and here with Johnny.
We out here.
Another episode of Talk About That, your friendly neighborhood podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Won't you be my neighbor?
That's coming out today.
Is it today?
Monday it'll have been out, but...
Man, I'll tell you what. How does Tom Hanks find a way to do what he does?
There was an article about how he doesn't play bad guys on purpose. Like, he's just made up his mind, I'm not going to play villains in movies.
You know, he was in that movie, Sons of Perdition.
Yeah, was he a bad guy there?
Yes.
Okay,
but he was a redeemable bad guy.
Right.
Like, he was
a
mobster. He was a hitman mobster in the 30s whose son witnessed him killing somebody.
Oh, okay.
And so then the mob was trying to kill the son. So he's out now trying to protect his son the whole movie.
Yeah, I remember that. That was when everybody was making a Western. It was like a rule in Hollywood.
There wasn't a Western.
To legitimize. Wasn't Perdition a Western?
No, it was like in the 30s. He's a mobster in Chicago or New York.
I thought that was a Western for some reason. Didn't he have like a hat?
Yes, he did wear a hat.
So maybe I saw that poster and I thought it was a cowboy hat. Yeah.
No, I don't think you... You're normally such a movie guy.
I know. I just didn't see that one.
It's awful.
One of those ones that felt like I was going to have to invest 3 hours in it, and I'm immediately out.
I remember we were at... You've been to the Whitestone Inn before.
Maybe. Sure.
Didn't you stay there before?
No, I don't think so.
It's like this nice bed and breakfast.
I know. I've heard about it from everybody. All my preacher friends used to go there because they give you a discount, right?
Yeah.
If you're like, you got to go. And I was like, oh, it must be nice.
Well, you could have gotten to...
I don't know.
Like, you need the discount. Anywho, I remember I was there with Laura for a few days, and we...
A few days? Man, you just living the dream.
We were living the dream. I mean, we don't always live the
dream.
You
watched it on the...
We watched it, like, on DVD, and I was very disappointed. It was, like, very depressing.
Was it one of those where you go and you get... They have like the little thing, and you can. There's like 8 DVDs to choose from at the front desk.
No, we took it.
Oh, you took it with you.
We took it.
Have you ever been to places like that?
Yeah.
Like if you go to Gatlinburg or something, they're like, "Yeah, come get some movies," and you're like, "There's nothing." There's like, "Honey, I Shrunk the Kids," but it's in the wrong case.
Speaking of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, do you have Disney Plus?
I do. I got it because I wanted to watch The Mandalorian.
Yes, I've only seen episode 1.
Yeah.
Of it. Yeah. And
we don't call it episode 1, by the way. Because episode 1 has a terrible connotation in Star Wars circles.
As soon as I said it, yeah. the inaugural episode.
The inaugural, excerpt.
I liked it.
I liked it a lot. We watched 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah?
And, of course, now the big reveal at the end of 1
was
a huge phenomenon.
Which we won't
talk
about here because...
No, but we don't want to ruin it for people, but it's awesome.
It is awesome, yeah. It was very much... Is it a prequel?
No, it's between, I looked it up, and evidently on the timeline of Star Wars, it's 5 years after Jedi, so the Empire has fallen, the Death Star has exploded for the whatever.
Uh-huh.
Would that be the first time, or the second time? I can't remember. Second time, because Death Star explodes first time, and then the second time was at the end of Jedi.
True that.
Then they exploded just for the heck of it. They keep building Death Stars. When are they going to realize?
Well, the first one didn't completely destroy the Death Star, did it?
I guess not. They've rebuilt.
Yeah.
At any rate, it's 5 years after, because they reference it. They say the Empire has fallen or whatever. But it's 25 years before the First Order, which is the ruling power in The Force Awakens.
Right.
So it's hovering in between those two times.
I can tell you something. Having destroyed the evil... the evil rule of the Empire,
right.
It would appear that life is not that much better for people.
No. There's a sermon there.
Mm.
I don't know
where.
That's true.
It's a weird one. But what did I say at the restaurant today that you said that was a sermon?
Cold with the King. I'd rather be cold with the King.
Because we were at a hotel this week in Atlanta, Laura.
John and Laura weren't in a hotel.
That's true. And they kept, we bought a king size room and they put us in a room with a queen. And I know this is like, in our 30s, we got a king. And it was, a good move.
Yeah.
You know, and so
you need to be able to roll and then roll again.
Right. Laura has like carpal tunnel and she like stretches her arm out and stuff, you know. So we did not sleep well in the queen. And so, but the air was bad.
She uses an outstretched hand as she sleeps, as if to say,
stay
away from me, John. It's like a stop.
A great chasm.
Don't even think about it,
us.
John. Kind of a motion. Okay.
Yeah. And so we get to this other room, and the air is, it's a big saga. We moved to 3 different rooms by the end of the week. And the deal was, I told you, I was like, hey, look, I'd rather have a king. I'd rather be cold with a king.
Yeah.
And you were like, that'll preach. It will. Like, I don't know how.
Would you rather be cold with the king?
Than be hot with the...
Than be lukewarm with the devil?
It's so true. Oh, my goodness. So you, have we talked about your Utah trip yet?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know if we did or not.
I don't think we did.
Utah was beautiful. Yeah. You been?
I've not been to
Salt Lake City.
I've been to Nevada.
I did a club there the night before my dry bar taping, which was in Provo. So we're in Salt Lake that night, a club called Wise Guys, mm-hmm. which was really cool. And we sold it out, which was really unexpected. And there were people there who listened to the podcast.
Oh, wow.
They came to my table after and was like, well, listen. I was like, in Utah? Couldn't believe it.
Big
it
shout
like
out to our Utahians.
Utahns. Is that's that what they're called.
Utahns?
Utahns. U-T-A-H-N.
Utahnanites.
No.
No, okay. Go ahead.
You tectonic plates. No, they were great, and it was such a fun crowd, and it was kind of a good dry run for the taping, which I was nervous about, because you know, anytime you're taping, comics, it's a weird thing with comics. Maybe preachers are the same way, where if you know you're like trying to get two sermons, if you're doing it the same service twice,
right?
And there's a you're just like, I just need to get a good tape of this, yeah. or whatever, for the podcast, or whatever you're doing, live stream. And there's an old thing of like a tape is so valuable to a comic to help get more work.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always a thing of like, if you had a bad set, someone must have been recording it. You know? So if you have a great set, no, there'll be no video evidence of it.
Right.
So whenever you know they're going to be filming, you're already like gripping like, oh, this has to go good. So I'll be a little bit more pensive, but it was actually really great. And the team at Dry Bar there are amazing. Dry Bar Comedies. We talked a little bit about what it is, but some of our listeners will know because they get the clips in their Facebook feed. It's all clean comedy. This guy started it from a company called VidAngel.
Yeah.
And started putting together their own content. And part of what they did was build comedy specials. And they built this whole library. Now they have 5 million subscribers on YouTube and Facebook. So they have a pretty big audience. So it's a cool thing to get to do. So we did I did like a 30-minute special, basically. Wow. That I don't know when it'll be out. But it went well, so hopefully they'll put it out.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to watch it on the app, I think is how it works.
Is it a website as well or just on the
app? It's an app. It's a website too. And I think when you watch it and then I can't remember if you pay. I think it's you join and it's free for a month and then it's like $2 or something. But
yeah.
Anyway, you can tip me at the end of the special. That's pretty cool. So you can watch it for free on the app, I think. And then you can tip me.
Do I have to tip you?
Well, so you're allowed to.
Okay.
You have the opportunity to give, John.
So I give in proportion to how good I thought it was.
How many laughs.
Okay.
That's how
and
many
what's
dollars.
What's the lowest denomination you'll take?
Whatever. I don't believe in denominations, John. You know that. I'm more of an ecumenical guy.
Non-denominational. I don't do those things with dollars.
Just, don't make the serial numbers don't need to match anything. No die packs, no cops, or I kill a hostage. Wait, that's a different speech. No, it went good, and Utah's so beautiful, and we got to stay. I got to hang out there like an extra day. We went Halloween night, which is weird to fly on Halloween. I don't know why, it's just extra spooky.
Is it?
I don't know.
It wasn't any different.
Do you get spooked out?
No.
Well, people were dressed up in the airport. Some people were, so that's kind of weird.
Were you flying Southwest?
Yes.
Were
no,
they?
No, I flew Delta.
Oh, Delta. Well, they didn't dress up.
No,
I don't mean Southwest stereotype.
Southwest is more of a whimsical company.
Right. They're
which bothers me a little bit to some point. Like, they have like a little speech and a song for everything. And I just keep wondering, like, what if there's really a problem? Do they have a thing like, turbulence, turbulence? You're like, no, just give me the emergency instructions again.
They have been.
One of our engines went out. Womp, womp. Like, just stop. I wonder when they're going to stop treating it like an open mic. That's what I mean.
Hope you prepared your eternal soul, everybody. We're going down. Woo! Yeah, they do kind of joke through a lot of the safety stuff. You know? And I'm okay with it because I really kind of feel that the safety stuff is just to make us all feel better. Because the truth be told.
Well, I think it makes people listen probably more intently. It's a little funny in between.
It does. But do you really think, I don't know, this is not to be morbid, but do you really, I mean, the odds are if this plane goes down, it's not going to matter, you know?
Like,
we're in a tube
together. People do survive plane crashes sometimes, but it's, the odds aren't great.
The odds of, again, the whole like water landing thing. Now look, if he could
A floating device.
If he could land on the water, then, maybe. But it's still going to be, it's a bad day.
Yeah, it depends on speed and all that stuff.
I'm not a pilot. I know you didn't know that.
No. But yeah, they tell you all these things. The oxygen mask and the yada yada. They're floating. They should just say, look, if we hit a mountain, they're removing all of us with a spatula. Like, it's not, there's not going to be needs for, right. Yeah. Well, yeah. They say that. Here's your floating flotational device. And,
yeah, and I appreciate it. I do.
Yeah.
I want parachutes. That's what I want.
But how do you get us all out the door? The doors are over the wings. You got to go stand on the wing to...
Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If it had to happen...
Have you ever wanted to go skydiving?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I'm a counterphobic 6 on the Enneagram, which means I'm afraid of things, but I want to go do them. So,
well, not enough to go do it, obviously, but you're also cheap.
Right. It just hasn't come up. I don't think my wife, it's kind of like owning a motorcycle. Like, there's a part of me that would like to own a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
I like stuff, you know, but then there's that part of me that goes, we talked about this before, you know, it's just, there's a lot more liability than, there's a lot more that could go wrong that I'm inviting.
Yeah.
Skydiving feels like that a little bit to me sometimes. Like, I'm just inviting something bad to happen.
But they have the reserve chute and all that stuff. And you, before you go by yourself, you're going with like a dude strapped to your back.
Yeah.
Like a little guy.
I can't.
Like a Toby Mac sized person just on your back. Toby Mac, and I'm strapped up on your back. And he helps pull the chute. Sorry, Toby, if you're listening.
Toby, not a sponsor.
If I ever go skydiving, that's who I would want with
me. You want Toby Mac?
So much more entertaining.
That'd be amazing. That'd be great. You can't hear him. You know that. You can't hear things when you're skydiving, I don't think.
No, sure you can.
You're in a wind tunnel, dude.
He's in your ear, though, going, it's going to be just fine.
He's all up on your grill.
He's all up in my grill.
Yeah.
That's fine.
See previous episodes.
Brother's done it. My brother's done it many times.
Would you do it?
He got kind of addicted to it.
Yeah.
Because it was like $140, and he was like dropping $140 a month doing it. I think he did it 3 or 4 times. He'll correct me, because he listens to the podcast, so he'll tell me if I'm wrong, but I think he did it 3 or 4 times.
So he enjoyed it then?
He loved it, and he got kind of hooked on it.
Well, I can see that.
And I think if you do it enough, you have to do it a certain amount of time. Now, some places might just let you go do it on your own first time if you just whatever. But I think the place he went said, you need to do 5 tandem jumps or whatever, a certain amount. You take this course, and then we'll let you. Once we know, you know exactly what to do. If the one, because the main thing is, if the one doesn't open, you have to have the wherewithal to be like, belly reserve, pull the front chute.
Yeah.
And if you don't know all that and like can do it with muscle memory, you're messed up.
And that chute's not as big as the back chute, right?
I don't think so.
So like, you're going to come in a lot hotter if that ever were to happen.
Coming in hot, bro.
Yeah.
He loved it. And I think you have to be a certain weight to do it too. I think I'm a little bit. I've always been a little bit heavier, so I've never really. It's never crossed my mind because I'm always like, well, I think you have to be like 240 or less.
You know that all objects fall at the same speed, regardless of their weight.
But it's about the chute being able to slow you down enough if you're a certain weight.
Do you know what speed objects fall?
I think it's 32 feet per second.
9.8 meters per second squared.
It's 32 feet per second, John.
9.8 meters per second squared. I don't know how that equates to whatever it is you're saying. I just remember that from physics.
I think it's 32 feet per second. I want you to look it up right now.
9.8 meters per second squared. You can't. I don't think it could just
I've never even heard that before. I've always heard 32 feet per second.
That's the thing you
Well, first of all, it matters what drag is on something and everything, too. So there's not just...
You know what? Meters per second squared may be a velocity and not a speed. There is a difference.
Yeah. You're thinking of terminal velocity.
So what speed...
32. I'm just going to look up 32 feet per second.
Objects.
It immediately pulled up.
9.8 meters per second squared.
The speed of gravity in feet per second is 32 feet. 32.2 feet per second.
Near the surface of the Earth, an object in free fall in a vacuum will accelerate at approximately 9.8 meters per second squared, independent of its mass.
Yeah.
With air resistance acting as an object that has been dropped, the object will eventually reach a terminal velocity, which is around 53 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Sorry, 53 meters per second or 122 miles per hour.
None of this matters. Listen, but it's about the chute and how hard you're going to land and them having harnesses to fit you and the tandem guy and all that stuff. So I think that's why they limit it. But anyway, now I'm light enough to do it. I could do it easily now, but I just don't know if I want to because I've lost some weight. I'm looking good.
What you're saying is we need to talk about that.
We need to do a live jump. With podcasting gear on us, which would also add to the weight, so that's going to complicate things.
It's not that
You need to be my tandem guy. You'll take the training.
This would be great. So I have to
just
go.
Just the photo op.
I have to go
it.
Train to be a tandem skydiver, is what you're saying, in order to pull this off.
To fulfill this bucket
list. So that you can
item.
Go once.
That way we go out like a blaze of glory. When we hit the ground.
At least they died doing what they loved. It's like, actually, this was our first time.
Yeah.
We don't know if we loved it.
We didn't know we loved it.
Right. We didn't love it at all. Well, that'd be interesting. I would do it. I'm kind of a, you know, as Sadie would say when she was a little kid, I'm a dairy devil. She'd say dairy devil. But I'll do stuff.
What is a dairy devil? That's like a cow that goes parachuting.
We'd always laugh because she also said my favorite thing she ever said as a kid was air porch. Let's go pick up mama.
She doesn't say it anymore, though.
No.
God, they're not cute anymore.
No, she's still very cute, but I'll say it sometimes. Well, let's go pick up mom at the airport. She'll just look at me like, really? We don't say that anymore.
We don't say airport.
Oh, man. But can we? You know.
I know. We should be able to.
Yeah.
She used to say elephant, too.
Elephant. Laura.
Elephant was a tough one.
Laura laughs because she loved elephants so much that she said, instead of dad, that was her first word. It was dat. She would say dat. And so
maybe she was saying that.
And, no, because she'd say it to me. Like if I was doing something, dat.
Maybe she was pointing at something for you to pick up, like hand me dat milk.
I have much video
evidence. Hand me dat formula.
Hand me dat elephant. And so then elephant was like her second word. So she said elephant. And Laura's, I was like, you said elephant before you said mama, you know. So when we went to the zoo the other day in St. Louis, we talked about that because the elephants, dude, the zoo in St. Louis, you've been there?
Mm-mm.
Johnny, you go to St. Louis all the time.
I know, but I'm always like on the run.
Unbelievable. It's like a national park almost. Like it's really huge. It is a park. So it's like really, really spread out.
But you can't get in there with the elephants. You're making it sound way more
Dude, I rode
free.
The elephants.
You rode the elephants?
No, you don't get in there with the elephants.
Like but, Hannibal over the mountains?
But you're very,
not from the A-team, the other Hannibal.
The other Hannibal, yeah. He loved it also when a plan came together.
Hey-o.
But no, you just get really close. Like the elephants at the Nashville Zoo, like you need like a spyglass, you know, to see. Look, I think I see an ear. Like they're so far away. Mm-hmm. But here, man, you're right. You're right there.
You ever done a safari?
John, I've never been to Africa.
No, there's safaris in the U.S.
Where would you do such a thing?
Tons of places. There's actually one in Tennessee I heard the other day.
What?
Yep, and I've done three or four of them. There's one in Canada that I've done that's great, but there's one in, like, Sandusky, Ohio.
How is it that we have been this
you
close?
You drive through these wildlife parks, and there's giraffes just, like, roaming around. You can, I mean, you're not supposed to, but you can feed them. You can.
Well, I've seen the videos on AFV.
I gave a giraffe a cheese cracker. No, not a candy bar. But, yeah, I've given a giraffe a cheese cracker.
So you negatively affected the ecosystem of a
probably.
Poor animal.
I've made that. Their only food source they like. They've shunned other food. Now they're like, what happened?
Right.
No, but monkeys will climb on your car and you have to sign like a waiver. Wow. Like if a monkey climbs on your car. Because there was an RV in front of us when I was a kid. We went to Canada and we went to one in Ontario. And this RV's in front of us. And they are peeling. These monkeys are all over this RV. And we're like, oh, this is funny. They're peeling the weather stripping. All of the sealant is just coming off it, and then they're swinging it around their head like a lasso. And these people inside are like, well, there goes that deposit. And it was so funny. They tore the antenna off. So stuff can happen. Like a lion can come up to your car and, like, you know, ram your car.
Yeah.
Or rhinos.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of just be okay with that. Usually that doesn't happen because I don't know if they're sedated, but they're used to captivity. So they're not wild, but it is fun.
I don't think I'm okay with this.
I mean, you just go take one of your junkier cars through.
Speaking of.
Yeah, I know you're having car problems.
Yeah, we need to have a conversation.
The Acura's dead, bro.
Guys, I had a 2000 Acura Integra.
You had to give the year so it didn't sound like you were hoity-toity. Yeah, I've got an Acura.
Right.
Like, it's a 2000.
It's a car that
it's a Dave Ramsey envelope car.
Oh, it is. It's a little 5-speed. I had a 1991 Acura Integra in college. Mm-hmm. Black. And I loved it.
The car you have when you're that age, it does seal in your brain. Because I went and got another Toyota van to try to relive those memories. And it just wasn't the same because I was like, this doesn't have XM or air conditioning.
Yeah.
And I didn't drive it. I never drove it. So after a year of having it, I sold it, my little boxy Toyota van.
I remember you did sell it. And this one I was thinking about, actually, this is going to break somebody's heart. I was thinking about giving it to somebody. There's somebody who likes it because I was looking at another car. And it's not worth much, but it is my little go to Nashville car, you know, like if I have meetings. And so, and it has a cracked windshield and never had it fixed, you know, and but it's 5-speed and it runs really great. Gets me from A to B and I enjoy it. So I bought a 2000 from my neighbor when we moved to Mount Juliet who he was like, well, you know, my wife doesn't drive a 5-speed. I was like, oh man, I want that car because it was perfect. And so he sold it to me, and then he regretted it immediately.
Did you see the meme that says millennial anti-theft device, and it was a 5-speed? It was like a 6-shift.
I did not.
I don't know if that's true. That's really
stereotypical. I'm very offended.
But there are way less 5-speeds in the world, so it makes sense that there'd be a lot more people that don't know how to drive them.
Well,
from
sure.
This generation.
Why would you? And it's not like it's a small task. Like, it's a skill you have to learn.
Yeah.
Like, you're not like, oh, okay, I can intuitively do this. Like, right. Okay, you know. But it's not that hard to learn, but you do have to learn it. Take some practice.
Yeah.
At any rate, I was in Atlanta. I had loaned it to a family member who shall remain nameless, who will listen probably. Who calls me and he's broke down on the side of the road. And I was like, oh man. So I had it towed, or he had it towed.
He probably felt terrible.
Oh, he does. He should, because he
destroyed your car.
He and my childhood and young adulthood and all of my dreams. But he is a timing belt, Johnny. I don't know if you know.
You got to fix those before they break.
I know. Is it every 90,000 miles? And I've had that thing for a while.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. And I just, man, who keeps up with 90,000 miles in a car?
That's not an increment that you.
I have a truck and a car. They're both old. And I kind of just switch back and forth depending on the situation, you know? So I'm not even in that car every day. So anyway, yeah. I let it pass. It's my fault. And when the timing belt goes, if you didn't replace it, it's like a grenade in the engine. So it's done. So I would like to officially begin accepting condolences on the accident.
But you have another vehicle.
I have an older, 1996 Toyota T100. It's 23 years old.
Yeah.
So,
but it runs great too, as long as you don't let this other person borrow it.
Right.
Because they're clearly the Dr. Kevorkian of automobiles.
Exactly. And then I got to think also, I wonder if the timing belt on it, like I need to maybe check that. It's the first time I've had a car just really go under because I didn't do a certain maintenance on it. But that's not a bad run, 20 years. You know, cars have, you know, right? No, I should have done
it. That's a good run. I don't think cars last 20 years anymore.
No, I really am sad. I don't want to spend the money right now, but I'm going to have to get a car. My truck's fine, but it's not like drive to Nashville every day kind of truck. Like, it's just, it's old.
You've had a rough week with this hotel thing.
Well, my refrigerator went out. I had to go get a refrigerator from the Sears outlet store.
So hard to be John.
Man, yeah. And then we went on a trip, and we were in Atlanta. My wife, by the way, went and worked on her Enneagram coaching certification.
She's going to be out there coaching people up.
Man, I'm telling you, she spent 8 hours
telling
a day.
Telling people what they are. Like, I don't really think that, no, I've decided you're an eight.
You know, the number one thing that they started with that would be really interesting, I think, for all of our listeners and for you about what the Enneagram is and what it's not, was that it's not a typing tool. Meaning it's not, that's what everyone wants to use it for. Oh, tell me my type. You know, that's really not what it's used for. It's really to help you learn more about your motivations. Mm-hmm. And the other big thing is that everybody has all of the numbers. Like, you just predominantly live in one. But like, really the goal of health of life is to learn to function in all nine. So be the healthiest version that you are.
Sounds like Sesame Street. Like, we all live in all the numbers.
We all live in all the numbers.
We have all the numbers, but we only live in one. And today's show is sponsored by...
4.
Yeah. And then that's what you are.
That would be a funny idea. An Enneagram,
like, what is
Sesame
count,
Street.
The count doing an Enneagram.
Yes. I'm glad we didn't make this a public idea.
5! With a 6 wing. Because he's the count, so he has a wing. Okay. Then he turns into a bat.
He does. That's very
funny. 6 and a 7 wing.
Wow.
That's okay. Anyway, no, it's great, and it's very good. I'm proud of Laura. She did good, and so now she's going to go. Well, that's a very popular thing now. So she's going to go make crazy money certifying people.
I don't know about
and
that.
Coaching up people.
It's a corporate certification.
That'll buy you a new Acura pretty quick, John. Mm. Pretty exciting.
Right now, we're not making
Rolling.
Any money. We spent to go, but no, it'll be good.
Stacking $100 bills right now.
Right now, guys.
The rubber bands have been breaking on these stacks.
They have.
And so he's having to start over.
I'm literally rolling in money. Literally. It's dirty, and I need to go take a shower. Yeah. So,
I've done that scene from Indecent Proposal. Yeah. I've done that before, but with change, and it's not as fun. It's just gross.
You've sent me a video that I haven't watched yet.
Yeah. And everybody can watch them, I guess, because it's on their YouTube channel.
Is it good?
The commercials that I did for the car dealership in Lexington are out. Like four of them dropped today.
Nice.
I don't know if you can even say they dropped.
They dropped.
That thing. My album dropped. It's whatever. yeah, they're not bad. The music they chose was a little curious. Jeffrey was kind of like, it's heavier. It's like hard rock almost behind me.
Okay.
Instead of like something more bouncy and whimsical that we would have chosen. But yeah, they look good, and Jeffrey's shots look amazing. And I think I got through it. I was like, as long as my acting is not the problem. He was like, no, you did good. So like, all right.
Well, there you go. Well, I can't wait to watch it.
It's so if you're on YouTube, go to Glenn's. I think it's Glenn's Freedom Jeep, and you can just type that into the search box, and it opens up the.
I'm opening it up now. I wonder if the audio would come through.
Oh no!
There it is.
This is the one we wrote. Oh, there's your harmonies, John. If you're looking for a deal that can't be beat, just click call or visit Glenn's Freedom Jeep. Oh man. The only Jeep exclusive dealer in
Nice, Johnny.
It's
very natural.
We made a little jingle.
You look very natural.
Do you think?
Yeah, no.
Well, no.
No, you do. You smiled.
We did okay.
It was good.
So you smiled? What in the world?
That was great.
Yeah. It was a weird couple of days because, I mean, I'm out of my element for sure doing those, but.
Yeah, but again, all the old videos, man, you're capable.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird without having an audience, you know. The audience is silent and
deadly.
They're judging you. They're judging you to themselves. Whereas I'm me. Like, that's the thing about stand up. It's so terrifying when you're starting, but once you settle into the idea of, like, I can write a joke on the way to the stage and tell it and immediately know if it's good or not. And that's something you don't get with any other art form, really.
Right. Like
if you do a painting, you work on it for however long. Take it to a gallery. You see if it sells. If you work on a song, you record it or you write it. Then you hone it. Then you practice it. Then you go, might record it. Then you drop the album and you hope it sells.
Yeah.
Or reviews come out. Comedy is just so instant. And so it feels really strange to do something that's not that. Where you're just like, you're waiting to hear back from the guy, the ad agency, that he liked it. It's a new thing. So
yeah,
I'm trying to get comfortable with it, but it's cool.
Yeah, no, my agent calls that throwing the grenade over the wall.
Yeah,
and
just
waiting.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you just wait to see what's going to happen.
You threw a grenade into an Acura.
Yeah, grenades have
it's not the
up.
Same kind of...
No.
It's not a good grenade.
No. What kind of car should I get?
I think you go, just go for it, man. Get the new Tesla truck thing that they put out yesterday. Did you see that big triangle from the future?
Isn't that crazy?
It's like something out of Mad Max.
Yeah.
I didn't see windshield wipers on that thing. What exactly are you supposed to
Where
do?
Where we're going, we don't need windshield wipers.
In the future, there will be no rain. Okay, Elon, settle down.
Yeah, I don't know.
It looked like the back seat, getting in the back seat of that thing, because it comes to a point on top.
Yeah.
So it looks like back seat's it's not your advantageous position.
Yeah. If you're in the back, you got a crick in your neck the whole time.
Yeah.
Put your neck at a 45-degree angle.
Oh, thanks, Elon.
Yeah.
In the future, people will be sure to... I can't do his accent, but... That's the Dyson vacuum cleaner guy. I just think things should work properly. They don't clog. Dysons do clog, by the way.
Absolutely, they do.
All vacuum cleaners clog.
We have a Dyson here at the church, and it's kind of the worst. So
they're not the worst, but it's just like the idea that you have a maintenance-free vacuum cleaner is a silly idea. All vacuums need to be emptied, and your filters need to be cleaned.
Mm. It's just like your life.
Or your timing belt. As it were. What would you say your spiritual timing belt is, John?
I don't know, but every 90,000 miles, you better change that thing.
What's 90,000 miles in spiritual terms?
I don't know, every...
8 Sundays?
Every 7 churches you change? I don't know.
Like an oil change is like the Holy Spirit, because it's the oil?
John. We grew up with those specific examples of it. You got to come
like getting fuel in your car is Sunday, right?
Would you try to drive all week without stopping at the gas station?
Right.
The answer is yes. I get great mileage.
Yeah, we're the gas station.
Right. I have a hybrid. I don't have to.
Now, that's right. Now we've made hybrid people, and they feel like they don't need church.
They go longer on less fuel.
I don't know. Maybe the heat doesn't work, but I'd rather be cold with the king. than to be warm in my hybrid. Hybrid to hell. Sorry, that's a...
That was the lesser known metal.
The lesser known AC/DC right. song, Hybrid to Hell.
That was the one they did later on in life. So, featuring Elon Musk. Yeah, I don't know what kind
get
of
get a car. Hybrid, though, for sure, to get something that's economical.
I don't know, Johnny. I don't want to spend money at all. Okay. Is there a pathway to me getting another car that does not include spending money?
You need somebody to give you a car like you were going to give the Acura away.
Yeah, although they might want to give me something more reliable than the Acura. It broke down. You know what I'm saying? But
you weren't driving it. We don't know what kind of damage. We don't know what kind of road running was happening.
You know what? I wonder. I'm not mentioning his name, but I wonder if he was just out like totally drag
just
racing,
weaving in and out.
Oh my gosh!
Just slalom on 440.
He felt horrible. He's like, oh, you gotta let me make it up to you. I was like, bro, it's a timing belt. It would have happened to me or to you.
It's just a timing thing,
right? It just happened to be bad timing.
Yeah.
That you were in it at the moment.
But it's good because now you can hold it over his head.
Oh, forever.
So it's terrific timing.
It's so much fun. Like, I would much rather happen to him than to me. Not because I actually felt really bad that he's broke down. But I love...
Did he have AAA or something?
No.
Do you have AAA?
I don't.
You got to get it, man.
No. I have AA batteries. Don't have AAA.
That's Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh. I have quadruple A.
That used to be an old joke. I used to think AAA was for people with real drinking problems.
That's funny. No, it was not his fault at all. Let it be written, let it be done. But I'm just saying, I will still give him a hard time about it.
That's so. What family does.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving's coming up.
Oh, it is.
And speaking of family giving each other hard problems, wait, lots of problems, I don't know, hard times.
Yeah. No, I like it. It's going to be fun. Right?
I'm just going to go in full-on political discussions.
Oh, yeah.
So we can leave early.
Yeah. Just...
You know what I'm saying? Like, once you're done eating, you just drop some kind of a...
Yeah.
Well, you know, if Obama was still in office, and then it just erupts. And then you just... hey, I don't know who killed this turkey, but Epstein didn't kill himself. And then you just storm out.
Hey, what flavor is this jam? Impeachment? Am I right? It's impeachment.
That's your... impeachment. John, we'll edit that out.
No, sorry, guys. Something about pudding.
Is this a peach mint jam? You know it was in a jam because of impeachment. I don't know.
Now, how come you just made the same joke and it was better?
I don't know. Just the way... It's all about... It's timing, John.
I'm not wearing my timing belt.
My timing belt is...
I broke my timing belt.
That's how a comedian... That's like a comedian. If he was a superhero, he would have a timing belt.
Make sure he services it every 90,000 miles. Oh, my gosh.
That's the thing about Batman. He's like everybody's favorite superhero, but he's just like a rich guy that has a bunch of gadgets.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have any superpowers.
No. He's just really rich.
And really
I think he even says that in one of the movies.
He's really angry.
One of the new movies, I think Affleck says that.
He's kind of like Captain Furious from...
He's angry that the Joker killed his parents, depending on what iteration of the folklore, the canon that you're in.
The canon.
So it's true.
They killed him with a canon?
Comic books have a canon, just like the Bible does.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that your segue to spiritual?
Horror movies have a canon, too. You know, like... I was a fan of the early Halloween movies, uh-huh. Michael Myers, uh-huh. But that whole canon got screwed up. They kept making more and more where, like, maybe he just escaped from a mental institution. Maybe he had a deal with the devil, and that's why he can't die. And so now it's all messed up. And so they keep making movies that ignore the three previous movies.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah. It's like the Gospel of Judas. Remember when they found the missing Gospel of Judas? And they were like, yeah, but this isn't real.
Right.
This is just...
It's like taking a National Enquirer and burying it for 2,000 years and digging it up and thinking it's true.
Yeah.
Like, just because it was written and it's old. Like, there was a lot of things written that weren't real. That was called... They're actually what called spurious writings on purpose.
Spurious.
Yeah. They would write on purpose to use someone else's name in order to make money and circulate more.
I think if Steve Spurrier ever did an autobiography, he should call it Spurrier's Writings.
Oh, that'd be great.
And then like a picture of him throwing a visor down on the front cover.
Yes, yes.
Loved it when we could get him to throw that visor.
Yeah. He's still good for a soundbite.
Oh, he's perfect.
Yeah.
You can't spell citrus without UT.
He's been making fun of us a lot, but...
Well, he dominated us.
Yeah?
It's bad.
Yeah, it was like the one thing... That he dominated during that dominated us during that time period.
Yeah, we couldn't beat Florida.
Well, we beat him in '98.
Right, national championship.
Peyton never beat him, which is crazy. But
if you ever get a chance to talk to Peyton, don't bring that up.
I won't. I won't. I'll leave that in the vault. So,
you know, most people think that he was the quarterback of the national championship team.
Yeah,
it was just assumed, and it wasn't him. It was T. Martin.
And T. Martin is now our passing game coordinator and assistant head coach.
We're doing good. We're doing better.
5-5. If we win against Missouri, we'll be bowl eligible. And if we win against Missouri and Vanderbilt, I mean, he'll have gone from 5-7 his first year to 7-5 his next after a 1-4 start. So there's actually talk of him, if he wins out, of Coach of the Year conversations because of the dismal start. Because, you know, Coach of the Year is not about necessarily how well the team did overall.
Yeah, it's about under the right. circumstances.
What you did
in the foxhole.
What you did with what you had. Yeah. When you had it.
He can take his'n and beat your'n and your'n and beat his'n.
I'm actually preaching on that. James 1, 2 through 4. You count it all with joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that the
diverse temptations.
Yeah. Which you know, diverse is just an old word for diverse.
I know, but I'm just, but it sounds like you're in a shark cage.
Right, or like you're eating like scallops or something. Because diverse scallops. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and so let patience have its perfect work, and that you may be complete and lacking nothing. I'm kind of mixing a bunch of translations there when I quoted that, but maybe I should bring that up.
Yeah,
you know, like hey, this is a lot. This is people
kind
love
of
that.
Shill for Pruitt.
This
in the
is a lot
of your
like our Tennessee. We started off 1-4,
and ain't that just like our Lord?
Isn't it just like Him to be 1-4 and then take us to 5-5?
You know, sometimes when you're serving the Lord, you lose to Georgia State.
Sometimes you go to double overtime to BYU. I don't know.
Sometimes you lose to the Mormons.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that would be a weird turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, guys, today, you go.
The strategy against BYU should have been everyone's strategy, which is just to hide until they stop knocking on your door.
Yeah.
Football-wise.
Johnny. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. So.
But they beat us fair and square. I was at that game, you know.
Oh, were you?
I was at until halftime. I stayed until, because my niece Kate played with Pride of the Southland that week.
Wow.
That's so proud
right.
of her.
You were there for the halftime show.
It's kind of ruined by us losing, but we were under the Jumbotron, the worst possible seats that you can have at Neyland, because you're just cramped up there. I mean, it was so hot. The sun's in my face most of the game, and then every time people are booing about a replay, I have to turn and look at this gigantic, it's above me.
Wow.
So it wasn't like I could see the Jumbotron from where I was at. But, you know, they were free seats though, so
wow.
I can't really complain.
Well,
I already did.
So
I had to leave because I had to fly out to Dallas the next morning. So I had to fly back or to drive back to Nashville that night to take a 7 a.m. flight. So we missed the second half, but we were listening as I went into double overtime, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was, they said that whenever we had them on like the 5-yard line with a minute to go, we had a 99% chance of winning statistically, and we lost.
I don't like those statistic things that mess you up. They get in your head. You're like, oh.
Right.
Mathematically.
I always knew I was 1 in a million. That's how you look at it.
Take an idiot to screw this up.
Telling me there's a chance.
It was all that 1 in a million talk.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Well, it's okay. We'll see what happens this weekend for sure. And
I'm going to see the Lakers tomorrow.
Nice.
Against Memphis, so you don't care about that. But my Lakers are best record in the league.
No, I know. I've been following a little bit.
They look good.
Yeah.
Best defense.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas last year we did not play so much defense.
Yeah.
And so we got LeBron's motivated. He's playing great. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
He's a big deal. Old, but you would never know it.
It's a big deal.
Until you look at his hair. His hairline is catching up.
Just shave it.
He can't. Something about him. He's got a little vanity in him.
He wants the hair.
So he does things in the off season. He comes back with a full head of hair again, and you're like,
How did that happen?
Yeah,
I get it.
Or he wears the headband, but it's like to cover the edge of it, but it keeps going farther and farther back. It looks like a yarmulke some games, where it's just like, it's way back there on top.
Yeah, I get it. I held on as long as I could.
You look great with that hair, though.
I just didn't know that before.
Like those side-by-side photos, you look better and even younger in your newer photo. The ones you took with Laura recently?
Oh, yeah. I think I look younger. I wish...
Well, you're eating better. You're running.
Well, you just know, though.
You're not in a band anymore.
Like you always say, you don't know what's under there. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I used to think about, I'll go on vacation for 2 weeks and I'll cut off all my hair so that if it looked really, really awful, some of it would grow back, you know, before I got home.
That's interesting. Like,
I never found 2 weeks to do that. So.
Yeah, that's a big investment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it wasn't like the only reason to go. It was just like, oh, I might as well.
I've got like a little bump here right where my hair. So if my hairline ever recedes some, I'm going to be messed up because I don't know what I would do because it's a serious little wart here underneath. So I would be one of those guys.
Yeah, you'd be fine. You're not losing your hair though. You can already tell.
You don't think I'll lose it at all?
No.
That'd be great.
No, man. At your age, you would already know.
How old do you think I am, John?
I know how old you are.
It's your age.
I'm just saying. I mean, hello.
if it hadn't gone now.
If it ain't
heart disease, that's what you need to worry about.
If it
about.
Ain't letting loose by now.
Yeah. I don't want it to let loose.
And we don't want you to let loose either of listening to our podcast and talk about that. And we're always glad that you listen. That appreciate all of you guys who are patrons. Go check out our Patreon page.
Thanks for patronizing us.
Yeah, come patronize us some more. We're always looking for more people who feel that this enriches their life or that they just listen to it. So you can come be a patron and support us. You can also follow Johnny or myself on various social media outlets. And be looking for the things we're putting out, like videos and books and other things that we're always doing. But it means a lot to us that you listen, that we get to share life with you, whether it's a long amount of life or a shorter amount of life. We always get just to have a little fun and also talk about things that matter as well. So, hey, thank you for listening, though, and we'll see you next time on
Talk About That.
Hello, hello, Punice Petway here, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. Are you someone who loves to take a deep dive into God's Word, one verse at a time, to explore His will for your life and desire to draw closer to Him? If that sounds like you, I'd love to invite you to head over to lifeaudio.com and search Your Daily Bible Verse to tune in and subscribe for daily inspiration, life application, and spiritual transformation through the in-depth exploration of God's Word.